I appreciate the prayer, specifically that what's said would bless others. This is a portion that has blessed me recently, and I believe has many of the same, sorry, closer? My good Steve? Okay. Has many of the same thoughts that we've been enjoying in Colossians chapter 3. So let's turn to 1 Kings 13. I think this is a portion that's probably often taken up with thoughts about separation, but that's not what I have on my heart. What I have on my heart is to think of this portion in terms of, is God's will our will? Is our will God's will? Are we setting our minds on things that are above? So in 1 Kings 13, the setting, just by way of review, the kingdom of Israel has been recently divided. You have Judah and Benjamin together, and then you have everybody else. It had to be an extremely sad, hard time. Relationships would have been broken. The former glory of Israel would have been in shatters. A lot of uncertainty. Just really sad. Really hard. If we turn to, maybe I'll just turn to it. If we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, we can find what the response was of some. Oh, sorry, bear with me. I turned to 1 Chronicles. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 11. In verse 13, so again, remember, Jeroboam has set up two false centers of worship. He's made idols. He's taken anyone who was willing to be a priest and made them priests. He's even performing priestly duties himself. So this is the response of some. And the priests and the Levites, verse 13, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coast. The Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So we have some who have moved, others who make the long trip to Jerusalem. A lot of difficult things going on, a lot of difficult decisions. So let's go back to chapter 13 of 1 Kings. We have this man of God. We'll just read verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. We know this story. The man of God has been given words directly from God. They're very hard words to Jeroboam. Jeroboam's upset. He wants to seize the man of God. Jeroboam's hand is turned to leprous, and then the man of God prays to God, restores his hand. And let's pick up the story at verse 7, right after, well, actually, maybe, let's go to verse 6. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hands was restored him again and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So Jeroboam wants to offer him a reward. He says, I can't do it. God has told me directly, no. I'm supposed to go home even a different way than I came. Well, the story continues. So he does that. And this seems, at least to me, he invokes God's name. It seems like he's doing the right things. But I think there's some subtle things to the story that we find out as we read on. You know, there's a similar scenario where Daniel is brought before a king to interpret writing on the wall. And Daniel right off says, I don't want any of your gifts, give it to someone else. He doesn't invoke God's name. He just says that. In this case, the man of God invokes God's name. He says, God told me I can't do it. Let's read on. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. You'll note that this old prophet hadn't left Bethel when Jeroboam set up the false idol. He stayed there, and his sons were around during this sacrifice. The words which he spoke unto the king, they also told to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. So this man of God had obeyed the Lord and had gone a different way home, but you see here he sits under an oak. I don't know if it was a legitimate rest. I don't know, but we see him sitting under an oak, pausing, being slow to get out of town. Verse 15, then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now the man of God speaks. He said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go the way that thou camest. So again, he invokes the Lord's name and says, I can't do this. We'll read on. This is the old prophet. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. This is a portion. It's always kind of maybe hesitate and wonder what's going on here. But I'll share with you what I think is going on, and please correct me. I don't believe that the man of God's thoughts were God's thoughts, in that when he tells Jeroboam, I can't eat with you, and when he tells the old prophet, I can't eat with you, he's effectively saying, I'd really like to eat with you, but God won't let me. God doesn't want me to. And then when he pauses, he's just kind of waiting for circumstances perhaps to change. He's reluctant to leave. It's a sad time. And so when this old prophet comes by the way and says to him, oh, hey, I have a vision from, what does he say, an angel? Yeah, he says, an angel spake to me, and God no longer feels the same way. God wants you to stay here. The man of God doesn't question. He doesn't hesitate. I mean, stop a second and think. If your father or mother had told you something very important, very specific, and a stranger went up to you and said, no, that's not right. I heard something else from someone else. And I mean, wouldn't you question that? This man of God, he very quickly goes with the old prophet. He believes the lie. I think he wanted to. I think he didn't want to do exactly what God had told him. His thoughts were not God's thoughts, like Daniel. Daniel said, I don't want to get rewarded by you. I mean, stop and think about what was going on here in Bethel. Lots of evil. Lots of evil. Things that clearly he couldn't join himself to. And like I said, I'm not wanting to take this up in terms of separation. I'm wanting to take this up in terms of when our thoughts are not God's thoughts, how God may allow circumstances to come up that make us think that our own thoughts are okay. It's very solemn. It's very solemn. I mean, I can understand his sentiment, but it was like God had to tell him specifically not to do it because he wanted to. He wanted to have that old fellowship, that old whatever. And how about the old prophet, the one who came up to him and deceived him? Well, it seems from the passage that this old prophet knew that what Jeroboam was doing was wrong. He knew it needed to be judged, but he hadn't left. He hadn't left Bethel. He wasn't willing to make that step. He let his family come under their influence. And when he sees this one who has a message from God, he wants to have a connection with him. He wants to feel like they're on the same page. He wants to feel like he has his approval. And so he goes so far as to lie so that he can have fellowship with him, so that he can have a time of sitting down and maybe not feeling so bad about the position he's taken. I don't know about you, but I certainly know what it's like to, I do this all the time, to say, you know, I would love to watch that movie, but God doesn't want me to. I would love to do such and such, but God doesn't want me to. Maybe some say something like, I'd love to date this person, but it's an unequal yoke. God doesn't want me to. When our thoughts are not God's thoughts, when it's just us, and it's good to know what his thoughts are, but if we don't make them our own, if we don't really believe that setting our mind on heavenly things is not, it's when we don't make it our way, we're in danger of this kind of thing, and we know what happens to this man. And again, in Colossians, we just have setting our hearts on what's above, not minding the things on this earth. And this portion just spoke to me in that manner. I pray that's a proper application.